The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
What I'm calling for is an emergency 10-day audit. Just audit the results, consider the claims, look at the evidence, and by doing it in 10 days, we can complete it before January 20th, before the presidential inauguration. And I think that would help provide much greater faith and confidence in the election than simply charging forward and saying whatever the results are, whatever the fraud was, we're going to certify anyway. I hope Congress doesn't do that. But right now, based on the public statements, it sure seems that's the direction the votes are going.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. Our country has been under siege for a long time, far longer than this 4-year period. And I hope Mike is going to do the right thing. I hope so. I hope so. Because if Mike Pence does the right thing, we win the election.
Wow, it's full all the way to the Washington Monument Hill.
The president is not speaking. We are going to the Capitol, where our problems are. It's that direction. Please spread the word.
Through the bird. Stop the steal. Stop the steal.
Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting, but we've just gotten a new tweet from the president, and this one is worth repeating. From the president, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful.
To see you guys. You got Patriots. Look at this guy. He's got covered in blood. God bless you.
Any chance I could get you guys to leave the Senate wing?
We will. I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
Okay, just want to let you guys know this is like the sacredest place.
I know, right?
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
Donald J. Trump called for the insurrection against the United States of America.
What we witnessed yesterday was not dissent. It was not disorder. It was not protest. It was chaos. They weren't protesters. Don't dare call them protesters. They were a riotous mob, insurrectionists. Domestic terrorists.
Today was terrorism.
We call them terrorists.
Terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
These people are not Americans.
Shame on those senators. They sided with domestic terrorists yesterday, and we won't forget it.
This in no way absolves them of the sin and the sins that they and the president have committed against this country.
And if Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and Donald Trump are not arrested today for insurrection and taken to jail and booked, Trump supporters come in and you open the doors for them. You open the doors for them and let them breach the people's house.
We came close to half of the house nearly dying on Wednesday.
I can tell you that I had a very close encounter where I thought I was going to die.
I didn't think that I was just going to be killed. I thought other things were going to happen to me as well.
So what sounds like what you're telling me right now is that you didn't only think that you were going to die, you thought you were going to be raped.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I was.
I have talked to officers that said who have done two tours in Iraq and said that this was scarier to them than their time in combat.
Democrats seem to have come completely unhinged in the few days since January 6th. They've engaged in an information war and called on big corporations to deplete money and resources from anyone who supports President Trump.
If you voted for Trump, you voted for the person who the Klan supported. You voted for the person who Nazis support.
Twitter and Facebook aren't banning you because you're a conservative. They're banning you because you suck. They're banning you because you say evil shit.
I covered wars abroad. I've seen ugly things that this country now resembles, but I've never seen this country more in doubt about safety at home than right now. And the enemy is us.
The violence we witnessed on January 6th has been hiding in plain sight.
So when we talk about healing, the process of healing is separate and in fact requires accountability.
I don't know if the president's capable of doing it, but he has to resign.
The President of the United States incited an armed insurrection against America. The President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the Vice President to remove this President by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment. If the Vice President and the Cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment.
There is a possibility that after all of this, there's no punishment, no consequence, and he could run again for president.
And that's one of the motivations that people have for advocating for impeachment.
4 years on, we've over the last few months, we've talked about just the dramatic events in 2024, just the 1 year, and you can see it so clearly. How much more so when you look back at 4 years ago today and look at how dramatic and miraculous the changes have been since that time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on yet another show, kicking off another work week here at Trumpet Daily, TrumpetDaily.com. You can get to the live stream there or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. So 4 years on from completing the election steal and then faking an insurrection. AOC wasn't even there. She was down the road. They faked the insurrection. Donald Trump was censored the very next day.
the impeachment proceedings began because, as you heard from Pelosi there at the end, they had to prevent him from ever coming back. So they impeached him after his presidency came to an end and the fake president was installed. All of this happening in 2021. And it didn't stop there. Even after he peacefully left on January 20th, 2021, Donald Trump, I mean, look at how the attacks continued. My father wrote in Miracle Victory, well, this is the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine, January 2025. He says here, even after Donald Trump left in 2021, the attacks never stopped. He was blacklisted from social media. The FBI raided his home. He was indicted 4 times. He was the target of persistent media vitriol and at least 2 assassination attempts. And yet somehow he emerged stronger than ever. That's where we are today. Donald Trump is 2 weeks from returning to power. And on this day, 4 years on from what you just saw there in the cold open, Justin Trudeau just announced his resignation about an hour ago. I'll play you the clip in a moment. But as I was joking with some of my family members this morning, they ballot harvest in Canada like they do in California. How amazing is it that after all this time, Canadians couldn't vote him out? Too much cheating up north. And yet God just pushed him aside when the time was right. That's what I've been emphasizing these past few months. Look at God. I mean, yes, Steve Bannon says the greatest political comeback in history. I mean, 4 years ago, MAGA was at his absolute low point. Donald Trump lost his voice. He was silenced. And it is a comeback. But you can't explain it unless you bring God into the picture. Justin Trudeau, a few years ago, you couldn't have imagined this. You had the trucker convoy. You had all of these events. People wanted him out, but they couldn't get him out. And after 2020, the election steal, you know, quite a few of us wondered, can the fake president and Barack Obama behind him, can they actually be removed legitimately through an election? Well, if it's too big to rig, I guess. How many twists and turns these past 4 years? There were things that happened that even we were surprised by. But if you step back and look at the message, whether it's Donald Trump's message, I mean, just consider what he was saying there. And he's coming into power, and he still believes 2020 was stolen, and so do his supporters. What does all of this say about everything that we witnessed in 2021? Well, coming from Trump, he was right. And coming from the talking heads, you know what was interesting about that cold open? Quite a few of those talking heads are gone. They've been silenced, fired from CNN, retired. I saw a CNN clip about all the people involved in that second impeachment, and how many of them are not even in Congress anymore. We've seen this year dramatic, miraculous changes, particularly since June 27, the debate debacle, when everyone saw this man is not right. He's got dementia, and he's in the most powerful office in the world. So much has been exposed. Here's Donald Trump returning to power. You talk about silenced. Mike Pence, he had an important role on this day 4 years ago, where, as you heard from Ted Cruz in the cold open, all he had to do was sign off on, hey, let's send it back to the states and examine the fraud, all this evidence, all these witnesses. Pence couldn't be bothered with that. And so Ted Cruz and his friends in Congress, they never got their opportunity to expose the fraud. That's what it was all about going in. But the fake surrection covered that up. The fake surrection blotted it all out. And now look at where we are today. Mike Pence, I mean, he's practically in the wilderness, politically speaking. Such an important role. He was stabbing President Trump in the back before he finished his speech at the Ellipse, before the protesting even began down the street. And then Pence comes along later and says, hey, I'm gonna run for president this time around. You know, talking like Biden and all the corrupt people, the corrupt politicians in the deep state, to restore dignity. Well, look at what do most Americans think about all those events you saw in the cold open, about those about AOC's take on January 6th? They know. Armed insurrection, they said. They're still, to this day, talking about four police officers that were killed because of January 6th. They still lie, but they've been exposed, you see. And their ratings have plummeted, and especially so after the most recent presidential election. MSNBC, CNN, I mean, they're just seeing their rating. Their audience has left. So many of those talking heads are gone. Barack, the articles just keep pouring in on Obama being silenced. And then today, here you've got Justin Trudeau, silenced, essentially. Our news gatherer up north talked about the January 27 debate and how it was right around that time when Trudeau lost some sort of an election vote in Toronto, and that set in motion a chain of events leading to his demise. But along the way, you had all of the trucker protest, all of these trucks just traveling across the country of Canada. They wanted their voices heard, but as I say, you can't very well vote them out in Canada. Today, God just says, listen, you're going to be silenced, just like the dear leader. It took the fall of Barack Obama and the rise of Jeroboam, the return of Donald Trump, to finally bring an end to Justin Trudeau in Canada. Those are some truly remarkable developments. You step back away from this past year even further, and you see these past 4 years, and you think, wow, I mean, coming out of January 6, 2021, MAGA was at a low point. Steve Bannon this morning said that MAGA lost about a third of its supporters. And then you had all these rhino Republicans lining up to agree with Joe Scarborough. It's an insurrection. Police officers were murdered. You notice they don't say anything. To this day, they don't say anything about Ashley Babbitt, who you saw in the cold open. She was murdered. She was gunned down. And no one's held to account for that. 4 years on, who has the popular support? Who has emerged with more power than ever? You've got Republicans. They have the majority, but it's the slimmest of majorities because they lost a few seats, people joining the Trump administration. They have no margin for error. And quite a few Republicans that didn't want Mike Johnson to come back as the speaker. Donald Trump gets on the phone and says, hey, we got to get this through. We have no margin for error. We've got to go forward. And that's what happens. Johnson gets in on one vote, whether you like him or not. I mean, at least there's a show of unity, which is pretty unusual for Republicans. But think back to this time 4 years ago, when Republicans were lining up not to present evidence of fraud. That was quickly covered up as they lined up to say Donald Trump should be silenced. Donald Trump should be he should be sent to the political wilderness. Donald Trump should be impeached. And then he should be convicted of an insurrection. And that movement, of course, was led by Liz Cheney, a Republican. Liz Cheney's gone. She's been silenced. Same with Adam Kinzinger. Oh, they got all of this notoriety, all of this publicity. They even brought in a Hollywood producer to produce the sham the sham January 6 investigation, just like the sham impeachments, just like the sham lawfare. They bring in Hollywood, they establish the narrative, and they just expect everyone to stupidly go along. Not everyone did. 4 years on, it's easy to see that. 4 years ago, you were a voice crying out in the wilderness. If you thought it was a fake insurrection, or if you thought the election actually was stolen, I just look back at our notes from 4 years ago, our January 6, 2021 program, America's Affliction. There you go, America's Affliction. That was our show 4 years ago. And then the one the next day, January 7th, the siege and the fake siege. The fake siege was what CNN was broadcasting for 3.5 hours. Imagine trying to overtake Congress without one weapon. And in just a matter of hours, it's over. The protest is over. All of the representatives and senators return, and they certify the election, and everything's done. And then Donald Trump leaves peacefully 2 weeks later. That is some kind of ridiculous insurrection. Given the number of guns in the United States, AOC to go right on TV saying she was about to be raped and murdered? Come on! Tell that to Ashley Babbitt's family or Roseanne Boyle. Tell that to their families. If you want to talk about murder, the January 8 program, this is what we said from the beginning. It wasn't a popular message at that time. Just like a lot of our COVID coverage the year before was not that popular at the time. January 8th, the title was "The Left is Using the Capitol Hill Violence as a Pretext to Amass More Power." That's the truth. They were at the apex of their power. Barack Obama, following the fake insurrection, the Obamas called social media the next day and Trump was gone. Trump was banned. MAGA, if we're to believe Steve Bannon, they lost a third of their supporters. Well, Trump himself said in Lee Smith's book, you know, my voice was silenced. It was like he was in exile. Listen to what my father wrote 4 years ago, January 2021. He said, by most appearances, Joe Biden will be America's next president, but I absolutely do not believe that at all. Mr. Trump will weather this storm too. Regardless of what the media says or how things look right now, I am confident Donald Trump will remain president. There's some few critics who get caught up on that word remain. And my father has since written, I got that part of it wrong. But just as far as the overall forecast, looking back now over 4 years, I mean, who was more spot on with the forecast? This quote from the Trumpet magazine, or what AOC and Joe Scarborough and Jake Tapper were saying at that time? They've been exposed. Donald Trump, all that he said at the Ellipse 4 years ago today, he was right. He was absolutely right. And the regime, though, it still had a lot of power. And so all of those congressmen and senators that were on their way to Congress after the president's speech to protest the results, the fraudulent results of the 2020 election, they were silenced by Antiochus and his regime. They were blotted out. As it turns out, though, it wasn't permanent. And now the tables have turned. My father said in that same article 4 years ago, I am also certain, this is after he says Donald Trump will remain, and then right after that he says he's coming back. The Amos 7 hasn't been fully revealed yet, it hasn't been fully fulfilled yet. So he has to come back. And so the message was consistent from that point forward. And we've been saying, we said it all through the assassination attempts. He says, as part of this same article, I'm also certain that we're about to see some of the biggest frauds exposed, perhaps ever. As I say, which forecast was spot on? You can pick apart the word remain if you want. But now look at where we are 4 years on. Donald Trump reemerging with more power than he ever could have imagined 4 years ago. I mean, had he stayed in office 4 years ago, he'd be preparing for his departure right now. As it is, he's back. And he's got Republican control over the House and the Senate, and as most would say, the Supreme Court. And he's about to get certified later today, unless there's some kind of last-minute shenanigans, which you can't rule out with people like Jamie Raskin in Congress. But we'll see how that plays out later this afternoon. But what a dramatic turn of events, my father says, in this latest trumpet, miracle victory. Most people are calling this the greatest political comeback in the history of the nation, or possibly the world. Some are likening it to a resurrection. Some recognize it as a miracle from God. Think of it. This man faced, speaking of Trump, this man faced relentless attacks from the moment he began running for president in 2015 and all through his time in office. And then you add to that all through his time when he was out of office, illegitimately, but still. It was only 5-6 months ago that they tried to murder him. A real low point 4 years ago for Donald Trump and his supporters. A great political comeback. As Steve Bannon noted this morning. And added to the low point for MAGA. I mean, 4 years ago today, that was perhaps the highest point of all for Barack Obama and the Antiochus regime. The power that they had over elections, over social media, over academia, over Hollywood. I have an article later on in the stack on how silent Hollywood has been. Not as many political activist speeches from the big celebrities. I think they had another big bash last night. I didn't see any major headlines from those that got on there and said, hey, Trump is Hitler. Even Hollywood, to some degree, silenced George Clooney walking away from the Dear Leader. Justin Trudeau resigning up north. January 6, 2021, that was the apex of Obama's power. But my, how things have changed since that time. 4 years on from what you saw there in the cold open, and everything backing that fraudulent, illegitimate regime has collapsed. And now you see the communist government in Canada collapsing as well. Not because of a popular vote in their case. But Trudeau didn't have the backing of the Dear Leader anymore. The Dear Leader's been silenced. Here's Justin Trudeau from earlier today, clip 6.
Over the holidays, I've also had a chance to reflect and have had long talks with my family about our future. So last night over dinner, I told my kids about the decision that I'm sharing with you today. I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister.
And so that happens. I didn't get into all the details. I didn't have time in catching up on my Canadian politics, but I'm sure it'll play out over the next few months. But here's another government in crisis. We're seeing so many. Even as God is empowering Jeroboam, even as Jeroboam is joking about Canada being the 51st American state, he'll probably have a few more jokes after today's resignation announcement. But here again, as I mentioned earlier, just tying this together with June 27, when everything started to collapse regarding the communist infiltration of America and then now Canada, and the vote that Trudeau lost at that point, and then losing the support of the dear leader. He was being silenced in America, and he's obviously not going to carry the same weight, politically speaking, that he once did. I mean, there was a time when if Barack Obama said jump, Justin Trudeau said how high do you want me to jump? Those days are over. God said he would intervene to prevent the name of Israel from being blotted out, and that's what we've witnessed these past 4 years. We've seen it pretty dramatically just in the past year. How could this all have happened without God miraculously intervening with quite a few head tilts along the way? You cannot explain it. Except that, as the Bible has prophesied, when Antiochus can no longer do his dirty dealings here in America, the political Antiochus, then the devil begins to move his resources, so to speak, into the heart of Europe, dealing with, working through that final Antiochus that's going to be heading up the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Some fascinating history and prophecy in our booklet, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. As I said last week, you want to put this one together with the United States and Britain in prophecy so that we can know who is who in prophecy, whether it's America, Canada, Britain, or these nations in the heart of Europe, headed up by Assyria, modern-day Germany. You look at all of these articles that just continue to pour in regarding Barack Obama, the incredible shrinking former president, and then the articles that continue to pour in about the power, the strengthening hold that of all things, or of all people, Jeroboam now has on the political establishment in Washington, D.C. The swamp. The deep state. I mean, there's going to be some agencies that go out kicking and screaming. The DOJ, there's an article about how they're going after January 6th protesters, even with just 2 weeks left before Trump gets into office. It was interesting just looking at the New York Times today. I emailed this to the staff. The article there about the terrorist, the ISIS, you heard in the montage, they couldn't stop talking about domestic terrorists, January 6th, terror, do not even call them Americans. And then you've got this story in New Orleans that's not even a week old. He just mows down 15 Americans, murders them. And you dig a little bit, not even that far, into his past, and you see that his allegiance is to ISIS. And then the New York Times comes out with a piece this morning saying, yeah, he's also had connections to Egypt, and he traveled to Canada as well. But think about how the FBI reported on that, just straight away, saying it wasn't terrorism. And then soon after that, it was a lone gunman. He's not connected to anybody. Well, if he's sworn his allegiance to ISIS, there's some pretty big connections there, I'd say. He's traveled to Egypt. Well, it'll be interesting to see what we find out about some of those trips later on. But see, the narrative, as they try to establish it straight away, it wasn't terrorism. It was a lone gunman. There's nothing more to report here. Let's move on. He murdered 15 Americans. I mean, that makes January 6th look like a picnic, an afternoon picnic, to say nothing of the summer of love. Just 6 months before January 6th, these people have been exposed, and so many of them have been silenced. Did it help Mike Pence's career to stab President Trump in the back? Did it help? You know, you heard the CNN guys that are no longer on CNN. Did it help their careers to get up and hysterically say, domestic terrorists, terrorists, terrorists? Donald Trump should be silenced. Donald Trump cannot return to office. listen to this from, I think this is a recent one from the Morning Meltdown. It's an exchange between Jonathan Lemire and I believe Mika's on there. But play clip five.
Trump has said that he plans to pardon those charged and convicted in the January 6, 2021 attack, calling them patriots and hostages, while referring to the riot as a, quote, day of love. Bring back the video of that riot. One protester was killed. Four police officers died in the aftermath. More than 140 officers were injured. And remind you, President Trump asked everybody to go to the Capitol, said he would meet them there. According to the Department of Justice, more than 1,580 defendants have been charged in connection with their actions at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Of those, 1,270 have been convicted. More than 1,100 have been sentenced, including 667 given jail or prison time. Jonathan Lemire, you wrote the book, The Big Lie, all on this. And it seems this morning, The Big Lie has, at least for much of the country, for half the country, for Trump's team, for the MAGA right, The Big Lie has flourished. The Big Lie has become the truth in their eyes. And this riot that we've been looking at, with all of the consequences, is somehow acceptable, even celebrated.
Yeah, the Big Lie won, and Donald Trump is still very much living the Big Lie, just this past going. So he is on the precipice of taking power again, and he still cannot let go of the lie that he lost the last time. He's still believing that he was cheated, that he had won then as well. On the other side, we have President Biden penning an op-ed in the Washington Post over the weekend. He also briefly spoke to reporters, saying that this is a day that we should always forget. He's calling for an annual commemoration of January 6th, a somber day of remembrance, akin to how we think about Pearl Harbor or September 11th or other tough days, dark days in our nation's history.
Now, just read between the lines and of that coverage there. They're not going to change their message. You can't expect that. But in looking at the footage and looking at what Biden's doing, Lemire's trying to point this contrast. Trump, he's coming back and he still believes it was stolen. He believes the protest was a protest of love. Well, you said that about the summer of love in 2020. And who now has the most popular support? Who controls all of Congress, now the White House, the Supreme Court? Who's been exposed as a fraudulent president? God, just like my father said in that article, we're about to see God expose some unbelievable amounts of fraud and corruption. And that's been exposed. Mika cuts away to the video footage, and you probably saw it there at the start. The police officer beating Roseanne Boyland. She ended up dying because of those beatings. Ashley Babbitt, as we know, shot in the neck. Two others, and we don't know all the details because the regime media has never been interested. They just talk about four police officers dying in the aftermath. That would be the guy with the stroke, and that would be the guy who committed suicide, and then the other two. I mean, we don't know exactly, but we'll just throw them in as well. Four died? Listen, you had an actual terrorist that just killed 15 Americans less than a week ago. And after today's New York Times story, there's not going to be any follow-up, no interest whatsoever. He's a lone gunman, just like Thomas Crooks. He's not connected to anybody. His social media footprint, it's just been blotted out. We can't really know much. But you step back and you look at what's happened in 4 years' time, and you know that most Americans know. You know that many of them know. It's interesting. I can't even think of the guy's name. He was on CNN. He was next to Don Lemon. He's moved over to News Nation, I think it was. And he's been changing his tune. He's becoming surprisingly more in the middle of the road with his coverage. Why would he do that, do you suppose? Why have so many of these other prominent talking heads been silenced? Why are their salaries being reduced? And why was it relatively quiet following the November 5 election just a month or two ago? Well, because it was too big to rig. Because Jeroboam's come in with really king-like powers. Not in the way that Antiochus did when he was abusing those powers, when he was politicizing and weaponizing so many of those government agencies, like the FBI, like the DOJ, obsessed with January 6th. This is from Politico. Federal prosecutors are weighing charging as many as 200 more people for their involvement in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, including 60 suspected of assaulting or impeding police officers during the riot and nearly derailed the transfer of power from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. Nearly derailed. Can you believe this? Here it went on for 3.5 hours, and then Congress returned and it was certified. Nobody even looked into the fraud. It was a done deal, and Trump left two weeks later. Nearly derailed. No, I think your side nearly derailed Donald Trump when you were firing bullets at him on July 13th. 8 bullets, 8 rounds. Now that's a near miss, if ever there was one. The new figures released by the Justice Department Monday, keep in mind, they're very proud of this investigation, the biggest DOJ investigation in history, reveal for the first time how many cases prosecutors believe are pending as Trump prepares to take office and threatens to unravel the massive 4-year probe. About 1,583 people have faced federal charges for their role in the attack, including more than 600 facing felony charges for assaulting or resisting police during the chaos. You just contrast this with the actual thugs, murderers, and rapists that so many of these George Soros prosecutors, they want to reduce the charges. They want to get them out of prison earlier. This was brought out in the Judge Mershon. He's a fraud, an activist, wearing a judge's robe, pretty much. He's going after President Trump. Friday, I think it was announced, he wants to sentence Donald Trump on the 10th of this month, but not maybe send him to jail, but just sentence him so he can go into his inauguration with everybody knowing that he's a convicted criminal. I think it was Greg Jarrett, but before that, just play this clip from Fox News, clip 2.
President-elect Trump slamming Judge Mershon's decision to sentence him in New York City on Friday, posting this quote on Truth Social. The legal system is broken and businesses can't take a chance in getting caught up in this quicksand. It's all rigged. It's this case against a political opponent, me. And while D.A. Alvin Bragg and Mershon have their sights set on Trump, they're ignoring the rampant crime in New York City. I'm not kidding. Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett writes Mershon is desperate to brand Trump as a convicted felon before his inauguration.
Convicted felon. But you see, even this, they thought when the raid happened, when the indictments rolled out, they thought that this would destroy him. They thought that this would derail. Came so close to listen to these people as they talk about January 6th, 4 years ago, coming so close to derailing Joe Biden from office. And they have tried literally everything and have come very close, were it not for God's intervention, to derailing the return of Jeroboam. But God said it would happen. It's prophesied. Play again from Fox News, clip 3.
I think Mershon is desperate to stain the incoming president with the label convicted felon. And understand, Brian, under the law, Trump is not officially convicted of anything until he's formally sentenced, even though many in the media, of course, began immediately and incorrectly calling him a convicted felon when the jury verdict came in. And that was the whole goal of indicting in Trump and putting him on trial. Democrats assumed their politically driven lawfare campaign would destroy him. Instead, you know, it had the opposite effect. Voters saw it for what it was, a corrupt weaponization of the law, and it backfired spectacularly. Many Americans recognize this was a sham trial, a preordained outcome. It drove a lot of them to Donald Trump, and he won.
Right. And it just actually it dominated the election cycle. It just put to the side his whole primary challenge. And he, you know, for better or for worse, he just dominated it.
Everything backfired these past 4 years. Blotting him out of Twitter, social media. Look at what's happened with Twitter, even Facebook. You go right through the lawfare. This next one, it's the last one, but he gets into the figures again. Just to expose the two-tiered standard of justice, how they, with actual criminals, they're trying to reduce felonies down to misdemeanors, but with Trump, they're trying to blow misdemeanors up into felonies. And the same thing with Trump supporters. Let's see if we can put a couple hundred more MAGA supporters behind bars before it's too late. Play this one from Fox News again, clip 4.
But just think about the consistency or the lack thereof. When you come to New York City and Alvin Bragg, another George Soros-funded DA who thinks criminal first, if you look at their misdemeanor and their downgrades, look at this full screen. You had 2,365 misdemeanors were downgraded from felonies. You had 2,188 to a violation of 1,193. So you have a situation where serious crimes are downgraded. When it comes to Trump, they put all these misdemeanors together to make it a felony and put them on trial.
Yeah, and it's, you know, one of the reasons why these George Soros-funded progressive district attorneys have ruined major cities in blue states. And, you know, Alvin Bragg is a prime example. You know, if you're Trump, a misdemeanor business records violation somehow becomes a phantom felony. And in the end, nobody actually knew what he was convicted of. And it wasn't a unanimous jury verdict, the best we can tell. Nobody really knows. A bedrock violation. You know, Bragg goes after, you know, Good Samaritans like Daniel Penny. Or a bodega worker who dared to defend himself when he was attacked. And he goes after a politician for purely political reasons. You know, this is what Alvin Bragg has wrought to New York City.
It's such an amazing point that he makes there regarding what Trump will be charged with or sentenced with in a few days. Nobody knows. Some kind of a business miscalculation, you know, it was on the books, not. And then here, as I say, the criminals are left to roam freely in New York City. The big cities of America infested with crime. And people like Alvin Bragg working to reduce the penalties, even as your DOJ is looking to put more people, 4 years on, 1,500 and what was it, 83 already charged? Let's put more of them in jail because 4 police officers died in the aftermath. Never mind the stroke, never mind the suicide. They died in the aftermath. And AOC told you, she was nearly raped. Now look who's in power, though. Now look at how the tables have turned. You've got this chat someone mentioned, Liz Cheney, earlier in one of those clips, I believe, or maybe it was just the last one I was talking. Oh, the George Soros funded. Soros gets the big award, you know, and all those awards given out by the fake president on Friday. If you notice, I mean, they were just to celebrities, basically, and left wingers. And George Soros, he's like the biggest Democrat donor there is. And he's radically left. He's communist left. And there's Joe Biden giving him the Medal of Freedom. Just handing out all of these medals, even to Liz Cheney. Doing all that they can. The DOJ with these additional cases they're going to go after, or at least they're looking into it before Trump returns. Molly Hemingway, this was on one of the shows just yesterday, where she, you know, all the chatter about Liz Cheney and how that she needs to be preemptively pardoned. Why would she need that, though? If her work, it was on display. Everybody saw it. I mean, they brought in the Hollywood producer. Why would she need this sort of blanket immunity? Well, Molly Hemingway explains. Clip one.
She obstructed justice. She witness tampered. We have lots of reason to believe she witness tampered with Cassidy Hutchinson getting involved in that woman's actual legal representation. She hid evidence that exonerated Donald Trump. I mean, one of the big things that Liz Cheney had said was that Donald Trump had not, in fact, sought a presence at the Capitol to protect people who were protesting. And she had evidence when she conducted her interviews that the deputy chief of staff said he personally heard Donald Trump say that he thought 10,000 National Guard troops would be good, that he heard the chief of staff talk to the D.C. mayor encouraging her to request those troops. But she hid that evidence, completely failed to release that evidence until, and it only came out after Republicans took control of the House. This is not someone that you should be giving an award to, someone who's witness tampering, obstructing justice, and the like.
So do you think she broke the law? Because remember, in the last few weeks, there was some conversation about Biden issuing her a pardon. Is a pardon warranted?
Well, I think the pardon is being sought by people who know what she did because she is in legal jeopardy. At the very least, she should be investigated for this. But I also think it's just so interesting how much Democrats, I mean, the reason why she's getting the award is because she helped Democrats campaign. They thought that she was helpful. But you might remember that the Kamala Harris campaign had Liz Cheney out on the road. That was their closing message. If you vote for Kamala Harris, you're going to have people like Liz Cheney handling our foreign policy. And polling showed that that was actually a net negative with people on that campaign. So Liz Cheney, as awful as her behavior has been in these last few years, she did give Republicans this gift of taking her very unpopular, politically toxic neocon interventionism and moving it from the Republican Party now firmly into the Democrat Party.
She's wanting the immunity. She wants the pardon because she's guilty of crimes. She knows it. And a lot of people in Congress know it. And a lot of people in Donald Trump's DOJ will know it as well. What are we to make? We've got just a couple minutes left. Just going back to the start of this show and the anniversary day of this fake surrection and what has transpired in the last 4 years. Well, just looking at God's involvement, stepping back and seeing God's miraculous intervention. I mean, how important is it for us to just patiently wait on God and wait for God to fulfill his will? One of the news gatherers reminded me this morning of the 6-year litigation over Mystery of the Ages. And that court case took a lot of twists and turns. And several of them were unexpected. But in the end, we obtained all of those works that we fought for 6 years in court. It didn't happen exactly the way we thought it would unfold. But the objective was to get Herbert Armstrong's writings. In this case, the objective, based upon prophecies in 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7, was that Donald Trump was the actual president following the steal in 2020 and that he would return to the Oval Office. And we've had a lot of twists and turns along the way. But here we are, 4 years on. It says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 29, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." It's wise to consider the latter end, to think about how it all finishes. And of course, sometimes it does take a lot of faith to just know that, okay, there's an unexpected setback, but God will sort this out. God will intervene. You can find similar verses like that in the book of Psalms as well. God really wants us to take the long view and to continually focus on the big picture. Consider the latter end. And here at one of those ends, we can look back now and see some truly spectacular miracles that have happened along the way. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.